Let's turn to God's word, to Hebrews in chapter 13. Hebrews in chapter 13. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honourable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have been not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do good, and to communicate forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, that we trust we have a good conscience, in all things willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace that brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he come shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. I just want us to look at that text. Jesus Christ, yesterday, today, and forever. We'll take each letter as we come to it. Jesus Christ. And we ask ourselves, what is Jesus? The world doesn't know what Jesus is. And we ask the question, what is he? Well, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the Saviour for sinners. Matthew chapter 1 verse 21, it tells us that you shall call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. What is Jesus? He's the Saviour of sinners. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 tells us there is salvation in none other, for there is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. What is Jesus? Jesus is the sinner, the Saviour of sinners. And we are sinners. Are you all nice people? Well, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says you're a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The first person to sin was Eve, and then it was her husband Adam. And the next sin that was recorded, although there may have been sins before that, was the sin of murder, when one brother killed another brother. What is Jesus? He's our Saviour. He's the one that come to give his life a ransom. So what is Jesus? Jesus is our Saviour. Jesus Christ, yesterday, today and forever. Who is the Christ? Who is he? Well, the Bible tells us that he's the anointed one. He's the one that's set aside, like Aaron. When you read in the Old Testament, Moses was told to set aside Aaron, to be the one who would stand between the people and God. And Aaron was the one that was anointed with that special ointment, with that special oil. God says no one else is to make this oil. This is special oil, only to be used in the anointing of Aaron and his sons that follow him. He was placed in the front of everyone. On that day when he was told to anoint his brother, take him and wash him, wash his sons, and put on his garments, and present him to the people. And he was the one that would go into the Holy of Holies just once a year, on behalf of the people. A picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. He was anointed. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit without measure. We have the Holy Spirit with measure, but it tells us after he was baptized that the Holy Spirit came without measure. The fullness of the Holy Spirit, because the fullness of the Godhead dwelt only in him. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 25 and 26. This is what it says. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem unto the Messiah, Christ is the Messiah, until the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, the street shall be built again and the wall, even in the troublous times, and after 62 weeks shall the Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Talks there in Daniel about the Messiah. Messiah is Christ, the sent one, the one who was set aside. John chapter 4 and verse 25, even the Samaritans believed in the Messiah when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well of Sychar. And during the conversation she says, we know that the Messiah is coming, and when he comes, he will tell us all things. Even the Samaritans knew about the Messiah. And 1 John chapter 1 and verse 41, it tells us there that Andrew, when he come and found his brother Peter, he says to him, we have found who? The Messiah. So the Messiah is the anointed one, the Christ. Jesus, what is he? He is the Saviour. The anointed one, the Christ, what is he? He's the Messiah. He's the one that was spoken about in the Old Testament. He's the one that all the sacrifices in the Old Testament look forward to. They all pointed to the coming date. that the Messiah would come, the Lord Jesus Christ, who would come to take the punishment, to take the wrath of his Father on our behalf, that we might be free. He's the same yesterday, today and forever. And that's why I say we are so secure that we have a Saviour such as Christ, who was forever his Father's daily delight, as we read in Proverbs chapter 8. He was there in the beginning. That means if he was there in the beginning, he had to be there before the beginning. He didn't appear at the beginning, he was there at the beginning. And as I said, and I'll say it again, he was before the beginning. All things were made by him. There is nothing that was made that wasn't made by him, as John tells us in his Gospel, chapter 1. And in Genesis chapter 1, it tells us there about the creation. And it wasn't 10 billion years ago. It wasn't 500,000 years ago. It was 7 or 8,000 years ago. And if you want to know how we've got coal and how we've got oil and all these sorts of things, it was because when the world was created, it was created mature. The cows and the camels and the sheep and the goats, they didn't have to wait on the grass to grow. The grass was there before they were created. God works in order. He never works in confusion. He's not saying to himself now, well, what shall we do next week? God knows the end from the beginning. He knew me before the beginning, and he knows my end. I know the thoughts I have towards you, he says. Thoughts for good and not for evil. Why? To give me an expected end. And what's my expected end? Father, I will that they that you have given me be with me, to be with me where I am. In his great priestly prayer in John chapter 17, verse 24. Secure? Don't tell me you don't feel secure with your salvation. You might feel insecure with other things, your finances, your health. They may be insecure, and they are insecure, because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But I know that my soul is secure. My soul cannot be lost. The soul of the Christian, the one who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, his soul is secure. That's why we sometimes sing, safe in the arms of Jesus. Jesus, what is he? He's the Saviour, Christ. Who is he? He's the Anointed One, he's the Messiah. Yesterday. Let's think about yesterday. What about yesterday? Yesterday was the day of the work of salvation. 1 Corinthians 15 verses 3 and 4. It tells us there that according to the scriptures he was crucified. He was buried, and according to the scriptures he was raised again on the third day. That's the work of yesterday. It was the day of the work of salvation, when Christ accomplished all that the Father had given him to do. Not my will, he said in the garden. Not my will, Father, but your will. It's not possible that this cup can be taken from me. I've come to drink it, and I will drink it. And he drank every last drop. And when he had the cup of wrath and he drank it, he cleaned it out and he handed it to me, and for me it became the cup of salvation. And everyone who believes in Christ has been handed that cup of salvation. We don't have to drink the cup of wrath, we drink the cup of salvation. For he took the wrath of God when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, what a Saviour that he died for me. From condemnation, he has set me free. Yesterday, that's the day of the work of salvation. Mark chapter 10, verse 45 tells us there that he came to give his life a ransom. I lay down my life, he said. No one takes it from me. I lay it down. I have the power to lay it down. And I will not stay dead, because I have the power to take it up again. And on the third day, that promise was fulfilled, that he would rise from the dead. Oh, what a saviour, my dear friends, what a saviour. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I love him because he loves me. My love for him is the same as his love for me, because it's his love. It's incredible to think that my love is the same as his love, because it is his love. He gave it to me that I might love him, that I might love the brethren. Christianity. There's no other religion like Christianity. Christianity is the only religion that can say this: secure forever and forever. All the other religions are working to try to appease their God, who are not gods. But the Christian is not working to appease his God, who is God. He's working because his God has ordained these works that he should walk in them. I'm not trying to please God by what I do. I'm not trying to please God by standing up here talking about his Son. I'm standing up here because I know his Son, and his Son knows me. And I want to proclaim his name, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yesterday, today. Well, what about today? If yesterday was the work, the day of the work of salvation, what is today? Today is the day of the benefits of the work of our salvation. This is the day of benefits. Today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Today is the day of salvation. Oh, my dear friends, this is the day of benefits. We're living in the day when the work has been done, and we can claim these benefits by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yesterday was the day of the work of salvation, when all the work was completed. It is finished, my Saviour said. And today is the day that benefits us of that work of salvation. Acts chapter 2, verse 21. Peter, when he was making his first gospel message, he could hear the people saying, "What must I do to be saved?" "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31, when Paul and Silas was in prison and they were singing the Psalms, and the jailer heard them. He must have heard them preaching as well before he was put into jail, because you must hear the gospel before you can be saved, because faith comes by hearing. And what did Paul and Silas hear this jailer say? "What must I do to be saved?" And it was the same reply: "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. This is the day of the benefits of that work of salvation. And have you benefited? God knows your heart. I don't know your heart. You don't know my heart. God knows my heart. But my testimony is this, that God has worked in my heart. And I have received the benefit of the work of his dear Son that he accomplished on Calvary. That blood that was shed on Calvary was shed for me, and it was shed for everyone who would come to the cross and acknowledge their sin and look up to him and say, "He is dying for me. I should be there. But he has taken my place. All my iniquities was laid on him. He who knew no sin was made sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God." Oh, my dear friend, what a saviour that he died for us. the same yesterday, today, and then forever. Forever talks about tomorrow. We have the work of salvation. We have the benefits of the work of salvation. And today, or forever, tomorrow, we have the end or the purpose of the work of salvation. And what was the purpose and what is the end? The purpose was salvation, that sinners might be saved. And what was the end? That they might be with Christ. John chapter 14 verses 2 and 3. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. That was the end. John chapter 17 verse 24. I've quoted it. I'll quote it again because it's worth quoting. Father, those that you have given me, I want to be with me where I am. That was the end. The purpose was that he would come to save. And the end product was that he would come not only to save, but to deliver. He's going to deliver his church, his bride, his people to his Father on that great and glorious day when we read about in Matthew chapter 25 when he says, enter into the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the earth. But he's also going to be saying other terrible things. Depart from me. For those that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, for those who have never repented, who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who put them to nothing. He'll be saying to them on that day, on Judgment Day, and they will have nothing. Nothing to say for themselves. All these people we've seen this morning and we see every morning passing the church, probably going shopping. They'll have no excuse because God will say to them that the doors were open. There was two men standing at the door and you refused to go in. And as you were passing by, you saw the text on the text board and it all spoke about me and you refused to believe it. You have no excuse. It's a terrible time. It's Judgment Day. They'll be all without excuse. But on the other hand, we won't need an excuse. Because he will speak on our behalf. Father, I died for them. They're mine. And in one sense, if I could put it like this, Father, you have to accept them because they're mine. As you would accept me, accept them. That's the end and the purpose of the work of salvation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today and forever. I'll leave this bit here, but I want to just say this finally, just time's going. This is for the unsaved. This is for the unsaved. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. And if there was someone here this morning who's unsaved, I would say this, let us go today. This is for the unsaved. You see, the believer doesn't go to the cross. We've been to the cross. We don't go continually to the cross. Where does the believer go to? Let us go up to him, therefore, unto him seated at the right hand of the Father on high, and proclaim to our Father and to all the holy angels that his mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, this is my friend. And we read that in Song of Songs, chapter 5 and verse 9. We don't have to go to the cross every day because Christ's not on the cross. It's sinners that want to repent that go to the cross and see the Christ there hanging for them. We go to the throne of grace. We've visited the cross. We've acknowledged that the one hanging on the cross is our Saviour. Where do we go now? We go to where he's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's in heaven. And that's where we go through Christ. Just as Aaron went into the Holy of Holies on behalf of the people, on behalf of himself first, and then behalf of the people, and that curtain was rent in two, and it's open for all who would come, but only through Jesus Christ. For Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. We go to the throne of grace. We need to go there every morning and acknowledge what we've done and say, Lord, forgive me. The way to the Holy of Holies is now free for me to come. And I come in that most precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we would be accepted. God accepts all who come to him through Christ. It's only through Christ. Let me just finish with this. Reading this. This is my favourite book. I always try and get Song of Songs into my sermon, because it's a wonderful book. Read it and read it and read it and see the love that the king has for the Shulamite. But it's a greater love that Christ has for his bride. We're his bride. The Shulamite's his bride. And the king is not Solomon, it's Christ. And this is what she says in chapter 5 and verse 9. The question comes there from the daughters of Jerusalem. She's been talking about them. And what's the difference between your beloved and any other beloved? And this is what she says. My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of water, washed with milk and finely set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips are like lilies dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with beryl. His belly is as bright ivory, overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble, set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. He's not just lovely. Everything about Christ is lovely. His works are lovely. His love for us is lovely. His forgiveness is lovely. Everything about Christ is lovely. But it goes much better concerning Christ himself. He is most lovely. Everything about him. His person. His power. And not what I said at the beginning. It's all altogether lovely. His mouth is most sweet. Yeah, he is altogether lovely. And what does she say at the end? This one I've been talking about, he's my beloved. He is also my friend. Is he your beloved? Is he your friend? Can I tell you something that you might not know, but you've already answered? You've not answered me, but you've answered in your heart, and God knows the heart. That's why we must not only be concerned about what we say, but we must be concerned about what we think. Because God is omniscient, he knows all things. Let's do what the woman done. Let us break open our alabaster box of ointment, that's our heart, and let us anoint him who is worthy of all praise and glory. Let's anoint him this morning with that which is in our heart, that which he has placed in our heart. He has given it to us. Let's give him it back with all our love. Let's pray.